Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, Band.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. Big thank you to our sponsors that make this show happen. EMP Shield is building a device that is many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It can handle 40 EMP strikes. It connects to your circuit breaker like connects to your electric panel like a Type 2 surge protector, and you can install it yourself. There's installation videos on their website, on YouTube, places like that. I'll tell you what, it works on your home, your car, motorhome, and boats if you've got them, or a generator. You can get bundle packages that you can get a couple of them and bring the price down. So take a look and see what you think. I mean, hopefully you don't need it, but it'll protect against EMP strikes, solar flares, and lightning. Realistic issues that we face, I think, solar flares and lightning, unfortunately. EMPs, well, we'll see. 2024 is shaping up to be potentially kind of a weird year and beyond. So might be better to be proactive as opposed to reactive. But I'll tell you, the best thing to do is go to empshield.com, read up about it. If you find something you like, the promo code on your way out to save you a little bit of money is macro. And thanks to the folks over at Chemical Free Body that make this whole thing work for me. I've been taking Green 85 for almost 4 years now. It is part of my daily routine. I really like it. Tastes good. Looks ugly. Disgusting, like pond water, but it tastes a hell of a lot better than it looks. Thank God. And they've got me on the detox bundle. It's a 90-day program. It's Green 85 plus gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, and probiotics. And they're all just capsules. You just take a handful of capsules in the morning and drink that Green 85 and you're done. And in 90 days, you will see a difference. I know because I've already done it before, but I decided I was going to do it again. I had 90 days until in Acapulco. So I figured let's do the detox bundle and sort of line those things up. So if you are so inclined, you want to read up about it or check it out, Chemical Free Body is the place to go, and the promo code is MACRO. Speaking of Anarchapulco, I'll be there February 11th through the 16th. I'll be hosting an MC in the event this year. It's the 10th anniversary of it. It's going to be a real fun time. I mean, the event itself is a blast, but the after parties at night, you know, you could spend money on a bunch of useless stuff, but why not get yourself some really cool experiences, meet a lot of nice people internationally, have a great time. So if you are so inclined, anarchapulco.com is the place to go. The promo code is MACRO. That'll save you some money. The links for all of this are in the description below. Well, I'm going to name this one Nothing Shaking on Shakedown Street as a nod to the Grateful Dead song. Jeff Warnock did that episode with me a couple of weeks ago where we talked about the history of the Grateful Dead. Maybe I have Grateful Dead on the brain. Who knows? But I think that when you're talking about this corporate shakedown racket that we've got, that song just kind of goes through my head, Nothing Shaking on Shakedown Street. So I think about that because what we're seeing right now, and we've been, it's been happening for a while, of course, but we're seeing it. It's really in the press now with what's going on with Elon Musk because he's suing Media Matters for America. Thank God, you know? And so it's been out in the forefront about how they're trying to destroy his relationship with advertisers. Now, I want to be crystal clear about Elon Musk. I don't like the guy. Okay. I mean, he's, we have common enemies. Okay. Media Matters is a common enemy. A lot of the people that he goes after, those are people that I would consider to be enemies of humanity. So on the one hand, you know, he's fighting the people that I think need to be fought. So I'll say, go get them. But I'm not putting a brain chip in my head. You understand that, right? You know what I mean? I'm not participating in that craziness because that's not something that, I would ever want to be a part of. I understand he's got ties to the government through SpaceX. He's got ties to the government through Tesla. He's got ties to the government through the Boring Company, which builds tunnels underneath cities. And you know, he's a government contractor. That's what he is. So again, I appreciate the fact that he's going after these people, and I'll sort of leave it at that with him. So he said he was launching a thermonuclear lawsuit against Media Matters for America, who is a disgusting anti-free speech shakedown racket that's run by one of the slimiest characters in all of DC. This is really not too different from what BLM was doing in the Summer of Love 2020, except those groups didn't want money. You know, they wanted silence and compliance. I mean, BLM eventually did start to shake down corporations for money, but the point of the protests were to silence people and to fold them into a certain way of thinking. BLM turned out to be a humongous grift. Of course, who could have seen that coming except all of us? We were screaming at our televisions about how these people are not serious and how they're con artists. And of course we were right. And they are, and they stole a bunch of money and they never did anything. Ask BLM what they did for the Black community. What'd you do for the Black community besides buying mansions in Beverly Hills and saying that you needed it as a safe space to decompress from the stresses of being Black? Like, get the fuck out of here with that nonsense. I mean, just say you wanted to buy a mansion. I'd at least respect you if you're like, listen, these dumb corporations gave us a bunch of money and then we went and bought toys with it. You know, I could understand it. I wouldn't respect it, of course, but I could understand it. But that's not what they did, of course. But when you look at a group like Media Matters for America, it's not the only group that Elon Musk is suing. We'll get into some of these other ones as we get through this episode, because there's plenty and they all need lawsuits, and they use lawsuits too as a tactic. So this is why it is kind of nice to have Elon with $200 billion, is because he can finance lawsuits through Twitter X or through personally, whatever he wants to do. He's got a war chest to go to war against these people. And so that's a good thing. And what he's claiming that they've done to Twitter is that they have, in a coordinated fashion, scared advertisers into not advertising on X. And that would be one thing if X was, it'd be one thing if it was, if they were intellectually consistent, right? If they went after X and then they said, well, there's a bunch of child porn on Instagram. We got to, you know, you can't advertise there. And there's a bunch of weird stuff going on Facebook. You can't advertise there. And of course, TikTok's owned by the, you know, Chinese government. You can't advertise there. Now, if Media Matters was doing all of those things, I might feel differently. I mean, I would still know who they are, of course, but I might feel differently. But they're not doing that. They're not going after all those people. They are only going after Elon Musk. Because he is not allowing the sort of control that they're used to having. Now, X is still censored. Let's not pretend like it's not. Let's not pretend like he waved a magic wand and everybody got unbanned and nobody's shadow banned and nobody's search banned and nobody's throttled or anything, because all that stuff is happening. It's still happening to me. And I'm a small account, you know, and it's happening to bigger accounts. Alex Jones isn't back on there, right? As of the recording of this, there's talk of it, but he hasn't been reinstated. So there's a long way to go for X in terms of getting to a place where they can, with a straight face, say that they're about free speech. They're not there yet. But I will say this. It's better than it was when the leftist communist lunatics were running the asylum. I mean, it's way better than that, because that was a time when the FBI had such a direct pipeline that they were sending birthday cards to people that they worked with inside Twitter. When Elvis Chan, the FBI guy from the San Francisco office, is so friendly with you that he knows your birthday, that's a problem. That's not a good thing. So I think it's important that we take a look at where X is in the process, okay? And it is a process. Now, if it were up to me, the process would move faster, okay? But let's take that kind of out of the equation, and let's take Elon and his sort of globalist ties out of the equation and just kind of look at what he is talking about. So what he is accusing Media Matters of doing is basically racketeering. I would love for criminal charges to be brought against Media Matters for RICO, racketeering and influence of corrupt organization. This is a racketeering operation. This is nice flower shop. It'd be a shame if something bad happened to it. That's what this is. And Media Matters went out and got all the advertisers, and they said, you know, your ads are running next to harmful content, Nazi stuff, you know, anti-Semitism and all this stuff. And the brands are like, what do you mean? Show us an example of this. So what Media Matters did was they created a fake account, a sock puppet account that they controlled, and then they just refreshed over and over and over again until they could get a situation where a hateful post was showing an ad next to it for this particular brand that they were trying to convince they should pull their advertising. And here's the problem with that. If you're Media Matters, you do know that this is like a computer, right? You do understand that Twitter X has all of the records of who your sock puppet account is and what they're doing. They just dig into, if they know what to look for, and in this particular case, they did, they went back and realized and saw that this fake account, that there was no, the content wasn't really running next to many, you know, the ads weren't running next to hateful content. It was happening. It was like one impression, literally one time they did it. And then they said, like, screenshot, here you go. See, here's your ad running next to somebody who's some account who's saying, you know, like, let's round up the Jews or something like that. You know what I mean? So, and then they show that, and the brand goes, oh my God, we can't have this. Yes, we've got to pull our ads. Now, I don't even know if it took that much convincing, really, to be honest with you. But that's what Media Matters did. And they have stepped on a huge rake on this one, because Elon went through the code and found that that's what they were doing and sued them. So now you try to explain to the jury how this wasn't organized crime. This is organized crime. This is a RICO case, I would suggest. And you can measure the damage done. You can take a look at how much these brands spent pre-Elon, and you can look at how much they spent post-Elon. And you can see where the drop-off, you can see when Media Matters, I mean, listen, Discovery is a motherfucker, right? In a lawsuit, you're going to get all kinds of information. When you start going through these emails, when you start subpoenaing the emails for Media Matters, talking about what the conversations they're having with the brands are. Oh, baby. You know, so this is the type of thing that could really be thermonuclear. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I want to get into sort of who these groups are so that you understand why this is happening. Because it's not accidental. It's very much coordinated. It's not limited to Media Matters either. There are several groups like this. We've talked about them before. But once you understand who the people are behind it, you're going to say, well, of course they were up to no good. So let's talk about this. So Media Matters for America is run by David Brock, or at least it was up until about a year and a half ago. He's turned the reins over to a chairman of the board who's not exactly doing a good job. But Media Matters did take money from George Soros. I know that's very surprising to all of you. And I think you ought to know who David Brock is, who's the founder of this. Now, like I said, he's dropped off, so he's not running it anymore. And I'm not entirely positive what his ownership stake is in this, because it's a privately held company, and so I don't know. My assumption is that he owns it, but doesn't run it anymore, and probably has, if there's a board of directors, is probably on the board of directors, probably in some way, shape, or form, has oversight, but maybe not running the day-to-day operations. But David Brock is a scumbag, period, end of story. Not even debatable. He's a sellout even by Washington, D.C. standards. He used to be the guy that was going after the Clintons back in the 90s, the Anita Hill situations and everything. He was a Republican bulldog who would be sent in to destroy Democrats. And he was very good at it. I'll give him that. He's very good at it. In part because he has no soul, you see. There's no hurdles that he won't climb. There's no line that he won't cross, because he doesn't give a shit about destroying people. He is a destroyer. So it's a perfect job for him. His boyfriend for many years was James Alefantis. Sound ring a bell? I've mentioned this before. It's worth repeating. You'll hear it from me again, because listen, you are judged by the company you keep. Fair? And James Alefantis is a Rothschild. And James Alefantis is the owner of restaurants. He owns a place called Buck's Fishing and Camping. You might have heard of that, but you definitely have heard of the other restaurant he owns. It's called Comet Ping Pong. Now do we have your attention? David Brock's boyfriend, David Brock, who owns Media Matters, his boyfriend was the guy that owned Comet Ping Pong. So if red flags are waving and sirens are going off in your head, there's a reason. James Alefantis was also named the 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C. That's according to GQ back in 2012. I ask you a logical, rational question. Washington, D.C. I'm not talking about Spokane, Washington. I'm talking about Washington, D.C. In what universe is a guy that owns a pizza place the 49th most powerful person in Washington, D.C.? Take all the time you need to explain that to me. Does he own Domino's Pizza, the entire franchise, and gives billions of dollars to the politicians, and that's why he's the 49th? No. He owns an obscure pizza place in Washington, D.C. called Comet Ping Pong, and he is the 49th most powerful man. I wonder why. Well, if you know the stories of Pizzagate, you know why. The guy that came out, the reporter that came out and debunked it, just went to prison for child porn. Just so you know. Just so we're crystal clear on what we're talking about. And the talk of it's going on in the basements and we don't have basements or anything. Go find the interview with David Brock from a few years before that, where he talks about how they're doing work down in the basements. They have basements. Stop it with that. Pizzagate's real. Now, is every single component of it real? Probably not. And it's wrapped in that Q stuff, and so it gets a bit murky. But listen, you understand how Washington, D.C. works, right? You have senators, you have lobbyists, you have billionaires, you have all kinds of people in that area. You don't think that there's 50 of those guys that are more powerful than a guy that owns an obscure pizza place, unless that obscure pizza place is running some sort of sexual blackmail entrapment operation, which I would suggest is exactly what's going on there. So it hasn't been debunked. The debunker's in prison, getting his dance card punched nightly, wearing his boxers backwards, braiding hair. You know what I mean? It's going to be a long, tough road for that guy. And good. If you're dealing in child porn, you deserve to go to the bottom of the prison. But that's David Brock's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. I guess they're not together anymore. How'd you like to have you? Never mind. I don't know. I mean, you talk about some sort of information that this guy's got on all these powerful people, man. I bet his hard drive is wild. But I mentioned that David Brock attacked the Clintons. And I told you that he's a soulless lunatic who's for sale. Well, he attacked the Clintons in the 90s. He works for the Clintons now. You understand what I mean? He was in charge of heading up Hillary's super PAC when she was running for president. So, you know, so this guy is bought and sold. So he's in Team Clinton, which puts you in the same category as John Podesta, and it puts you in the same orbit as Rahm Emanuel, and it puts you in the same orbit as Barack Obama, and all these really decent people that definitely weren't sending emails mentioning how they were flying in $65,000 worth of hot dogs, and that there was a pizza party and somebody lost their handkerchief. I'm just saying. He also runs American Bridge 21st Century, and also a operation called Correct the Record. Both of these are super PACs. These are money bundling. He's a guy that knows a lot of people. He bundles money and gives them to politicians. Probably takes a nice little cut for himself. He's the chairman of the hilariously named Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Holy shit. I'm waiting for one of these acronyms to spell out Satan, because, you know, this one spells out crew. I'm waiting for it to spell something different. You know it's coming, right? And so once he left Media Matters, I guess it was last year, he started another company with a severely misleading name called Facts First USA. God, just here's a tip. Listen to the name of the companies, and if it talks about integrity or whatever, or if it's like anti-homosexuality, you know it's the exact opposite. If it's like an anti-homosexual group, you can bet your ass that the guy at the running it is on Grindr for sure. So when David Brock, you know, starts a company called Facts First USA, you can be assured that there are no facts going on in there, but it's designed to counter Republican-led congressional investigations. So again, he started a company whose entire job is to prevent the Republicans from holding investigations. Gee, what are you hiding? I wonder why you're so worried about the Republicans launching investigations into you. I'm sure it has nothing to do with your past or anything, David Brock, wink, wink. You know who starts companies to prevent congressional investigations? Criminals that don't want to have congressional investigations, right? That's how they do it. I don't know. So X sued Media Matters for misrepresenting the typical experience on X, quote, with the intention of harming X and its business. So now they have to prove that the intention was to harm the business. This seems like a slam dunk to me, especially after discovery. And I wonder what, I just wonder how this is going to play out. But let's talk about some of the brands that Media Matters got to discontinue their advertising with Elon's ex. Disney, Comcast, Oracle, IBM, Walmart, Apple, Coca-Cola, and Lionsgate Entertainment. There's probably more, but those are the main ones. And look, it's going to be pretty easy to distinguish how much money was lost, because these brands all had a relationship advertising on Twitter back when it was Twitter before Elon bought it. So they could just go back and look what was your ad spend for Disney in 2022? What was it in 2021? Okay. You spent, you know, $70 million a year doing that. Okay, fine. And then you just add it all up and you go, and then, so we were, you know, you were counting on, $1 billion a year in advertising coming from these brands that have now all of a sudden in a coordinated fashion just dropped off. Well, there you go. That's a place to start. Place to start for actual damages. I don't know about punitive damages. We'll see. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know how this all will play out, but I think it's worth mentioning that, that this isn't some, you know, I think that there might be collusion going on. This is a measurable observation. And it's measurable in dollars because you can see how much money fell off and you can see that it fell off all at the same time. You remember when Alex Jones got banned all at the same time? That's coordination. That shows intent. It shows planning. It shows racketeering. And you know, it showed that was the same thing. I mean, Alex Jones probably had a RICO case against them too. But again, he doesn't have an endless amount of money to fight these guys in court like Elon does. So let's let Elon spend his money. At this point, he's got a sunk cost of $44 billion into Twitter. So what's another billion in legal fees if you're going to possibly save your company? Okay, so let's move on. Well, X's ad revenue has declined by 55% year over year. That is a lot. And I don't know if you saw the interview that Elon had with Andrew Ross Sorkin. They're sitting on a stage and he's talking about this and he said, what do you have to say to these advertisers that left, these brands that left? And Elon's response was, go fuck yourself. GFY. He said it multiple times. And he explained that Twitter was going to go out of business because of this. At some point, it was just going to run out of business. And, there's not enough revenue. And he said that this is, you know, it will be the fault of these brands. And then Sorkin says, well, the brands aren't going to care. They're going to say it's your fault. And he said, well, let Earth decide. Let the planet decide. Let the people decide. So he better turn this around in the form of a massive lawsuit, because I don't think the people are smart enough to decide, to know, to understand, or to care. You know, they'll just know that company's gone. And they'll say, and then there'll be a media blitz that says, oh, it was because Elon was anti-Semitic, or, you know, whatever the slanderous term of the week is for him. So he better square this away. He was talking about how the companies who coordinated pull ads from X, not because of a single authentic user. Only Media Matters sock puppet account on X saw ads next to content referenced by Media Matters. And they looked into the data to discover what they were doing. So he's explaining this to the guy, like, this is what they did. It wasn't like Coca-Cola ads were running on the KKK's homepage or something like that. You know what I mean? It was like they made hateful content and then just kept refreshing to see which advertisers popped up next to it. And then when it did, they're like, see? So it's dirty. It's dirty tricks. It's dirty Washington tricks, but we'll see how it plays out. So the new guy who's in charge after David Brock left is a guy named Angelo Carusone. And he, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that this dishonest zealot tried to destroy someone he's opposed to politically. This is kind of what he does. He's a member of DC's gay mafia, just like David Brock, just like James Olifantis, right? These guys are politically connected, psychopathic homosexuals. The homosexual part is just sort of a coincidence, you know, sort of an add-on to this. It's not to say that being homosexual makes you psychopathic, but in this particular case, this is what they call the DC gay mafia. And this guy, Angelo, he's done this before, at previous stops, before Media Matters. He went after advertisers of Glenn Beck, who eventually lost his show on Fox News because of that. He went after Bill O'Reilly, who's a fucking lunatic in my book, as far as I care. But still, I mean, this is a coordinated effort. He went after Rush Limbaugh. So you can tell who they go after. They go after people they perceive to be on the right. Now, I think Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, and Glenn Beck would confirm that they're on their right. Glenn Beck's a little bit, he's kind of, I don't know. He's still on the right, but he's less right than I remembered him being. When I've heard some of the Glenn Beck stuff now with the Blaze, he seems pretty measured, you know, pretty reasonable. I certainly wouldn't put Glenn Beck in the same category as somebody like Bill O'Reilly. I think Bill O'Reilly is more like Alec Baldwin or Keith Olbermann, people whose minds have been scrambled so bad that they're just mean, nasty, rich assholes who throw food at the driver because they can, because nobody will. But I don't put Glenn Beck in that category. It doesn't matter though, because Angelo Carasone went after all of them and got them all either fired or created havoc for their advertisers. And that is something you do when you are a disgusting scumbag like these people are. He started the Dump Trump campaign. That is until Trump threatened to sue him for $25 million. And then he got off that pretty quick. But it should come as no surprise because Carasone was the CEO of the finance administration of the Democratic National Convention, the DNC. You remember the DNC, right? Run by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one of the ugliest people I've ever seen, physically and emotionally ugly. So that's who's running Media Matters now. These guys are economic hitmen. They're just not the John Perkins type. They do it a little differently. And it's disgusting, of course, but it's also not reasoning when you understand that that they see platforms like X as being theirs. You know, they want to control the messaging there. It's very important that the truth doesn't get out. And the government feels the same way as well. This isn't so much left versus right. It's just the left happens to have a monopoly on really destroying social media platforms with their ideology. And Twitter was a great pipeline for them. They were able to control a lot of the conversations that were going on. They were able to ban people, as we know. And that has changed. And they don't want it to change. So if they can't control Twitter X, then they want to destroy it. Let's move on to another company. This is called Check My Ads. And not to be outdone, Rumble filed a federal lawsuit against the creators of Check My Ads, a lady's name, Nandini Jammy and Claire Atkins, for launching a, quote, disinformation campaign to demonetize Rumble. Now, Rumble is a little bit like, it's a video sharing platform, right? It's sort of come out of this, out of the wake of the censorship campaigns of YouTube, and they have become essentially a place for free speech. Again, there's always a bit of an asterisk here because some people find that they're version of speech, free speech is not welcome. But by and large, Rumble is a place where you can post things. I mean, my show now goes out on Rumble and I don't have a ton of followers there. It's not YouTube. But then again, I can't get on YouTube anymore because they've already thrown me off. So Rumble has welcomed me. Rockfin has welcomed me. Band.video, which is Alex Jones's platform, has welcomed me. And I appreciate the opportunity to put my shows on these places for as long as I can. But I also understand that they're targets, you know, they're getting targeted. Check My Ads went after them. Media Matters did it to Rumble too. It wasn't just Check My Ads, but they lied about Rumble's business practices, just straight out lied about it. They lied about ad placements. And they lied about the sources of revenue. These are all provable things. These are things that Rumble is like suing them for because it's obvious that they were lying about it. And they publicly pressured advertisers to leave Rumble by describing them as a disinformation and hate outlet. You know what we say about hate speech, right? It's not hate speech. It's just speech they hate. And that's what they're doing. But they've made a serious error in this one by going after Rumble. Because you know who one of the investors in Rumble is? It's Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel, if you recall from years ago, Peter Thiel was a closeted gay man. Okay, and I think in this day and age, finding out somebody's gay isn't really like a big deal. But Peter Thiel did not want that to be a known thing. He for his own personal reasons and I respect his privacy. I mean, I don't respect him running Palantir, of course, but you know, listen, if you don't want that to be out there, then you know, it's shitty if somebody sort of you know, opens the door and pulls you out of the closet. I think I would assume that would be really a horrible thing to have happen. And Gawker magazine did that to Peter Thiel. And so he had a huge problem with them. And so what Peter Thiel did with respect to Gawker, because he couldn't really go after them legally, he waited. And he waited for Hulk Hogan, of all people, to get into a lawsuit with Gawker when Gawker printed some videos that they had gotten their hands on of Hulk Hogan, like sex tapes or whatever. And Hulk Hogan sued them. And listen, I would assume that after a career of wrestling, Hulk's got some money. But it doesn't hurt when you've got a financial backer like Peter Thiel, who came in and said, Hulk, I'll backstop your lawsuit. I'll pay for all the lawyers. We'll get the best lawyers we can get. And you sue Gawker, and I'll bring the money to back it, and we'll go after them hard. And he did, and they won. They put Gawker out of business. They put the owner of Gawker into personal bankruptcy. I mean, Peter Thiel was not fucking around on this. So I say that because you have to understand that Peter Thiel has now entered the discussion with regard to this lawsuit too. He is backing Rumble because he is an investor, and he has now had the conversation with the board at Rumble saying, I'm here. We're going to give them the Hulk Hogan treatment. Check my ad. So to Nandini Jammy and Claire Atkins, I wouldn't wait until the last minute to bury some gold coins in your backyard, because you're going to be bankrupt pretty soon. I'm looking into my crystal ball, and I'm telling you what's going to happen to you. And by the way, you deserve it. You scumbags that go out there and try to censor people's speech, you get what you get. Okay. So it's funny though, that these advertisers are so worried about, you know, dangerous content while they're still advertising on Instagram. You know, what in Instagram, the algos have been proven to serve child porn to pedophiles. Proven to do that. That's Instagram. So where is the outrage there? Where, again, like I said at the beginning, if Media Matters and Check My Ads and ADO and Center for Countering Digital Hate and all these groups, if they were really concerned about dangerous content being next to advertisers, then why aren't you going after Instagram? They have a huge problem with child porn. This is not some new revelation. It's been known for a long time. It's been proven for a long time too. And yet there's no appetite for boycotts there. Isn't that funny? So another thing that happens though too is when you start to get into this fight like Elon has, isn't it interesting that ever since he started to fight back against this coordinated corporate advertising smear campaign, now all of a sudden, the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission have opened a few investigations into Tesla. And let's not forget that the SEC sued Elon Musk over his initial purchase of Twitter back in 2022. The Securities and Exchange Commission sued him because he was trying to buy Twitter. So there's already government interference in this. You understand that the Securities and Exchange Commission is run by criminals, okay? Guys like Gary Gensler need to be in prison for what they're doing. You know, all the financial regulatory agencies in the United States that are supposed to be making sure that the markets aren't rigged are always deeply involved with people that are rigging markets. But when you've got a guy like Elon Musk who kind of goes off the reservation a little bit, what do you know? Here comes the investigations. Here comes the lawsuits, right? The Federal Trade Commission has demanded that he turn over all the documents with relation to his purchase of Twitter. Now, I would expect the shakedown of SpaceX to be next, you know, in the future for these ad media gangsters. You kind of see the pattern where it's going. You know, it won't be long before some government agency opens up an investigation into SpaceX or Boring Company or Neuralink or Starlink or whatever. You know, all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, so Elon's in this situation where he's got a lot of government contracts. Starlink is one of them. SpaceX, obviously. You know, so you've got a relationship with the government But then you've also got to be careful because you're suing people that the government doesn't want you to be suing because it's part of their silencing and disinformation apparatus. So this is kind of how it goes. You know, you got to be careful when you shake down, when you file lawsuits against these organizations, because then the government comes after you as well. And, this is what David Brock does. This is what Angelo Corazzoni does. This is what Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL do. They put as much pressure on you as you can, as they can. And they feign that they are outraged by this entire thing, but there is no real outrage here. We understand what this is. This is just it's a legal tactic to try. Well, in this case, it's illegal, but it's a tactic to get advertisers to view these plans. And our advertisers are weak too. They don't want controversy. I mean, you would think they don't want controversy. Although. There's a component of them that are heavily involved in the woke advertising and that has got to be brand suicide. Just see Bud Light if you want any sort of explanation on that. But that's kind of where we are. Speaking of the ADL, one of the biggest shakedown rackets in the world, it's been going on for a very, very long time. They have tens of millions of dollars. And what they try to do is link any criticism of Israel or Zionism to anti-Semitism. You know, this is a plan that they've been using for a long, long time. This is what the Jewish lobbies use. This is what AIPAC has used. This is what the ADL has used. This is what the Southern Poverty Law Center has used. Any criticism, justified or not, of the state of Israel, the country of Israel, Israeli government, and the Zionist government of Israel, again, a political designation, not a religious one. Any criticism of that, the ADL's job is to say, you're anti-Semitic. And that has been working for a very long time. You can find a chapter in my Octopus book called Student Body Right. And the reason why I named that chapter that is because back in the 60s, USC football, college football, used to have a running back you might have heard of named O.J. Simpson. And he was such a good running back. They had this play where all of the linemen on the left, you know, everybody pulled the linemen on the left, and it's kind of football-y, but the linemen on the left immediately like pulled and ran to the right, and all the linemen that were on the right, they started blocking, and everybody just ran to the right side. Student body right. It was basically like, get everybody on the field and run to the right side of the field and start blocking. And OJ will run behind you and he'll just weave his way through and he'll wind up in the end zone. And that play worked so well, nobody could stop it. And they won a national title. And I went to USC, not then, and not in the 60s. I'm not that old. But I remember, you know, it's a legendary play. It's a legendary time. And what it is it's a play that they would... Here's the thing. Every team that they played knew it was coming and they couldn't stop it. That's the point, is that sometimes there's a play that is just so unstoppable that you keep running it and running it and running it until somebody shows you that they know how to stop it. And that's why I named this chapter, because that's what the ADL and AIPAC and these Jewish-leaning groups have done for a long, long time. Just claim everybody hates the Jews. Whenever they start being critical of you, just call them anti-Semitic, and that'll get them to back off. You know, nobody wants to be thought of or perceived as being a hateful person that's picking on people just because of their religion. That's a bad look, right? So what they've done is they've conflated the two, where any sort of legitimate criticism, I'm not talking about actual hate, you know, hateful speech. I'm talking about just saying, you know, I think Benjamin Netanyahu shouldn't be bombing people, or I think that Israel shouldn't be doing what they're doing to the Palestinians. Anti-Semitic, right? You can't say that. You're anti-Semitic. Well, listen, that play is actually getting to the point where there is now a defense for it. So student body right is coming to an end with regard to that. Louis Farrakhan sued the ADL for $4.8 billion. I mean, Louis Farrakhan is a trip. He's 90 years old. He hates he hates Whitey, I'm pretty sure, but man, he hates the Jews, and he sued them for $4.8 billion. We'll see how that plays out. You know, that's the Nation of Islam and his group, but he's got problems with him. Ben Garrison, you know, cartoonist Ben Garrison, he sued the ADL for $10.35 million for defamation. Elon's threatened to sue them. And so, and Jonathan Greenblatt is a scumbag of epic proportions. He'll probably try to sue me for just saying that. But listen, I can prove it. I can prove that you're a scumbag. I can show I can show example after example after example of you being a bad guy and doing things that are reprehensible. So that's what it is. So this is all part of this, is silencing any sort of criticism. In this particular case with the ADL, it's very heavily Israel, but not completely. They don't like Elon because, again, Elon is allowing people to say the things that will point the finger, rightly so, at the administration of Benjamin Netanyahu. And we can't have that, right? We can't have people actually calling these people out, because that would paint them in a bad light. So the ADL's involved, but they're going to get sued, and good. I hope they do. I hope they get put out of business. There's a group called Dewey Square Group. This is a public affairs group that falsely said Rumble was dependent on Google ads. They're getting sued. You know, when you say like, Rumble can't even get advertisers, they just have to outsource that to Google. Well, Google does provide a portion of their advertisers, a very small one though, like very small. And they made it sound as if Rumble was so disjointed and so out of, you know, so poorly run and so despised by advertisers that they just have to get all their advertisers from Google. And that is not the case. And so here comes a lawsuit. So do you guys get ready to pack your bags and move out of your office, because once Peter Thiel gets done with you and the folks over at Rumble, good luck to you. There's another group. Let's move on to another one. It feels like we could go on for hours, but we won't. There's a group called Center for Countering Digital Hate. Now they first got on my radar a couple years ago when they went heavily after David Icke. And it turns out that this is a really interesting organization. It's kind of for a long time, it was a one man show, and the one man is, he's an Israeli funded immigrant named Imram Ahmed. He's running this NGO out of London and is obviously sort of picking on and prioritizing London, you know, UK related issues. But I would say it's not limited to that. And he's partially responsible for getting David Icke banned from the Schengen region, right? That whole region of like Western and Central Europe, where David Icke can't even travel anymore because of that. So we've got a serious problem. You know, we've got a serious problem with this guy. And he's getting sued. He's getting sued. If they keep doing this, they should all get sued. But let's move on to one that you may hear Tim Pool referencing from time to time, called NewsGuard. I did an entire episode on them called Guarding the News probably 2 years ago. And they aren't guarding the news, by the way. They're censoring it. That's what they do. NewsGuard has partnered with Microsoft and Bill Gates, of course, to have their software program pre-installed on Microsoft Edge browsers that come with Windows. So they want this, and they plan to install it on all their Microsoft's mobile phones as well. And what this does is NewsGuard gives you a rating for the websites or the news-related sites that you're on. It's like a stoplight. It's a red, yellow, green sort of system. And of course, it's completely inverted, because if you go to it, it's like CNN gets a green, like they're a source of fantastic information. And they're definitely not run by a bunch of pedophiles over there, even though their producers keep getting arrested and charged and then convicted of pedophilia. That's certainly not happening when their bosses aren't getting fired for having inappropriate affairs in their office places. And when Don Lemon isn't screaming at women, telling them and telling Nikki Haley she's too old, and then fighting with Caitlin Collins and all this stuff. I mean, CNN is a dumpster fire. Of course, we know this. They took $300 million for CNN Plus out into their parking lot and lit it on fire. Didn't even last 3 weeks. So CNN is in no position to be some sort of arbiter of what's truth and what's not, you know. And so their news reports, if you were being fair and balanced and reasonable, you would look at them and you would give them a red light. But NewsGuard gave them a green light because NewsGuard is full of shit. And once I get done explaining to you who's on their advisory board, you will understand exactly why I say they are full of shit. But they also have plans to have Facebook, Google, and Apple directly integrate NewsGuard into every smartphone and every tablet sold. I want to say that again. That's Google and Apple. So you're talking about Android and iOS for Apple, for all iPhones and all Android phones. To have NewsGuard pre-installed on all of that, that would be a huge win for NewsGuard, because the vast majority of people are going to see the name and go, oh, it's going to tell me which news sites are reputable and which ones are dangerous to look at, which ones are disinformation. Well, you know who's going to get a red? Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is a great place for news, actually. I really like Zero Hedge. And they already got thrown off Twitter. They got banned from the App Store, not because they're fake news, but because they're real news. In fact, they're super measured. I mean, they kind of go after both sides. So this is what it is. It's going to give them an opportunity to reach normies, because it'll be pre-installed on everybody's phones and tablets, and then they won't even have to ask for it. They won't even have to serve it up. It'll just already be there, and that's going to create confusion for people that don't know what NewsGuard is, and they make the assumption that it must be good. If it's pre-installed, it must be protecting me from harmful misinformation. But anything, it's as far from the truth as you could possibly get. And because it's NewsGuard is to protect you, of course, as they're lying to you. But let's I told you I'd say that I'd give you a rundown of who's on their advisory board. I mean, it is filled with some bad people. Let's start with Tom Ridge, former Homeland Security Director. You know, he is securing the homeland. That's Tom Ridge. He's a bad guy. Michael Hayden. Michael Hayden has the unique honor of putting on his resume that he wasn't just the head of the CIA, he was also the head of the NSA as well. He's a member of the Chertoff Group. Michael Chertoff, the first director of Homeland Security, or was he the first? Yeah, he's the first. Maybe Tom Ridge was the first. He's either the first or the second of Homeland Security. But Michael Chertoff gave you the backscatter airport scanning machines that he put in all of the airports through his Chertoff group, which is interesting because Michael Chertoff was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11. So that's the reason why he knew to plan that. Michael Hayden also sits, he's not just on the board of BAE Systems, which is a weapons manufacturer. He is the chairman of the board. Weapons, bombs that are dropped on kids. Michael Hayden's in charge of that. And of course, a member of the CFR. So these are the group of people that are advising NewsGuard, this software program that is going to tell you, give you a red, yellow, or green on which news sites you go to. Person in charge telling you that, the advisory board, is the guy who used to run the CIA and the NSA. That is automatic disqualification. If you don't understand who's on this board, then you might think that NewsGuard is just guarding the news, right? They're not. Richard Stengel. I want you to do, whenever you get done with this episode, the next time you're in front of a video, type in Richard Stengel, CFR propaganda, into a YouTube will definitely have it, or wherever, and find the video. It's about a 3-minute clip. It's real easy to watch. Watch him talk. He's sitting up on a panel discussion at the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's talking about the role of propaganda. And it's interesting to hear what he has to say about it, about what he thinks about it. Because he says, you know, I frankly don't think propaganda is that big of a problem. Every country uses it. Every country needs it. I don't have a problem with it. He says, when I used to work in the Obama White House, the nickname they gave me was Chief Propagandist. Now, he was the editor-in-chief of Time Magazine. So again, think about this rationally. He's the Chief Propagandist in the Obama White House. He runs Time Magazine. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a distinguished fellow at the Atlantic Council, and he worked at the State Department. And he is on the board of directors, the guy that says, I don't have a problem with propaganda. Propaganda is fine. Every country uses it. Every country needs to use it. And I don't see the problem with it. So the guy who is the chief propagandist for the Obama administration is on the board of directors for NewsGuard, who's in charge of telling you whether the news you get is filled with propaganda or not. I mean, if you want to just drive your car off a cliff, I understand. I mean, it is so goddamn frustrating to watch this and see this. And you just want to shake people and say, look at this. Next on the list, Don Baer. B-A-E-R is how you spell it. Former White House communications director under Bill Clinton. Oh, my God. I mean, Bill Clinton is a pathological liar and sociopath. We all know that. That's not debatable. But if you are the communications director for Bill Clinton's White House, and he's lying as much as he's lying, this is taking lying to an art form. He was the chairman, or I guess he is still the chairman of PBS, Public Broadcasting Service. That's the news channel. That's the TV channel that plays like Sesame Street and stuff like that. He's the chairman of PR firm Burson, Cohn, and Wolf. Now, this PR firm, Burson, Cohn, and Wolf, is in what they do is they get hired when a corporation or, you know, an institution or a group of corporations has done something so unbelievably terrible that their reputation is destroyed. And we need to lie and spin it so that everybody doesn't think that we're horrible scumbags, even though we're horrible scumbags. Would you like to know a list of the clients that this company, this PR firm that he is the chairman of, has worked with? Big Tobacco, the tobacco industry. They represented him. Saudi Arabia after 9/11. Johnson & Johnson after the Tylenol poisoning. And asbestos lawsuits. Monsanto. And lastly, Union Carbide, when they blew up that Bhopal plant in India 40 years ago and killed a bunch of people. So when you are poisoning people like Monsanto, Johnson & Johnson with literally Tylenol poisonings and asbestos lawsuits, Union Carbide making chemicals and having your chemical plant blow up and kill a bunch of Indians, tobacco industry killing people each day with your products, Saudi Arabia being involved in 9/11. When you do that stuff, when you are in that line of work and you don't want people to know you're in that line of work, you hire Burson, Cohn, and Wolf as your PR firm. And the person running that, the chairman of that, is Don Baer. And Don Baer is on the board of directors for NewsGuard. Lastly, Elise Jordan, former communications director for the National Security Council, also works for MSNBC and Time Magazine. So she's deeply involved in the NSC, National Security Council. Just remind you, that's where Ollie North came out of when he was running the drugs and cocaines for Iran-Contra, the NSC. She now works for MSNBC, a reminder that the MS and MSNBC stands for Microsoft, and Time Magazine. Time Magazine's former editor-in-chief, Richard Stengel, is also on the board. He's the guy that says he doesn't have a problem with propaganda. Elise Jordan, does that name ring a bell? You know who she was married to? Michael Hastings, before he blew up. Moving on. You're like, oh God, this is so gross. It is. It's totally gross. The whole thing is gross. Look, these groups that are there to manage hate speech are not actually there to get hate speech off of these platforms. We understand that. Their job is to run interference. Their job is to create confusion. Their job is to get you to believe things that are not true so that you'll feel a certain way. They don't want you to feel like Monsanto's the bad guy, and they don't want you to feel that that the tobacco industry is actually killing people, so they lie to you. These are professional liars. The companies that are brought in to run cover, like Burson, Cohn, and Wolf, you know, these PR firms, the people that run them are the biggest liars in the world. So I ask you, if you're NewsGuard, if I'm really doing my job, if I'm really trying to guard the news, if I'm really trying to make sure that hate speech doesn't get on my platform, and I would want my board of directors to be above reproach. I would want them to be the type of people that you would go, look, we brought in the best and the brightest. We brought in guys like, I'd bring in like Sully Sullenberger, right? You know, the guy that landed the plane. Everybody loves him, right? He seems like a good guy. Seems like an upfront, righteous dude, right? My board of directors would be all of these people that you'd go, oh, that guy's amazing. That guy's great. Or that guy, you know, whatever. The last people in the world I would put on my board of directors, if I was actually running an upfront, honest corporation, the last people I would bring in is the former head of the CIA and the former head of Homeland Security and the chief propagandist from the State Department and the guy that ran the largest PR lying firm in the world, and the lady that may or may not have had her boyfriend or husband murdered, Michael Hastings. These are the last people in the world I would bring in. And yet that's who NewsGuard's advisory board is. So again, when you hear this, when you hear them talking about these lawsuits against Twitter X and Elon Musk and going after, you know, and collectively convincing brands to pull their advertising because they don't want to be associated with hate speech. It's important that you understand who these groups are. That they're the furthest thing from, defenders of free speech and liberty. Their entire job is to lie to you, to stifle, to be the chief propagandist, to be the head of the NSA. You know, it's crazy to me that people don't understand what's actually happening. But I'll tell you why it's happening. I'll tell you why it's happening now. First of all, they've lost a bit of control with regard to the messaging of what's going on. There's so many lies happening right now. It's hard to keep, you know, contain them all. They're all starting to come out. You have questions about October 7th. You have questions about 9/11. You have questions about the role of, you know, what Joe Biden is doing. You have questions about Ukraine. You have questions about that. We've got, you know, all of these things are currently being discussed in ways that the mainstream narrative, is threatened by. But the reason why they're cracking down on him right now is because of the 2024 elections, because the upcoming elections, because I think that they believe that if the general public is to have access to unfettered information. And again, I'm not trying to say that X is unfettered information, but it's there's a variety of sources. Some of it gets through. If the general public is to hear actual truth, the Democrats will never be able to get, whether it's the corpse of Joe Biden reelected or some new person, Gavin Newsom, God knows Kamala, good luck with Kamala. Whatever that is, whoever their candidate is, you've got to suppress these stories. You can't have the Hunter Biden, you already suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop. Are you going to be able to suppress the Hunter Biden lawsuit? The criminal charges, the fact that he took $1.6 million out of the ATM, very impressive, by the way, that you were able to get $1.6 million out of the ATM, or that you spent $781,000 on prostitutes. This is stuff that creates big problems. Or that you have gun charges. Let's be honest, gun charges are not good. Tax evasion charges, not good. So they've got to get control of the messaging. They see this as a loose end that needs to be tied. And my fear is that there's no line in the sand that these people won't cross. So I guess I guess we could just keep our eyes open for that October surprise in 2024, right? Because you know it's coming. You just don't know what it'll be. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now and share it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions or go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.